All right, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. All right, well, let's start by standing up. We're going to get some blood flowing, and we're going to sing page 443. 443, Sunshine in My Soul. After we sing that, the kids' choir is going to sing a couple of songs, and then Miss Deborah and myself are going to sing, and then we'll have another hymn. 443. Sunshine in my soul.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly skies. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Let's sing the last.
There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
All right, you can be seated. Kids, you ready? All right, come on up. Okay, Miss Deborah and I are going to sing "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone."
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear. For there's a crown for me. Oh, precious cross, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day. Stars come down and bear my soul away.
All right, y'all can remain seated, but let's turn in our hymn books again to page 391. 391, then we're going to have the Miss Deborah, Miss Leisha, and Miss Danette sing, and then the Sims family. I'd rather have Jesus
than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Let's sing the last.
He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Okay, if we can have the ladies' trio.
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Always appreciate the music and appreciate everybody contributing to our afternoon service. And a couple weeks ago, I asked Brother Daniel Flores if he would be willing to preach for us this afternoon. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he says, okay. And I got to torment him a little bit. I told him I was praying for him. And he says, please, please, preacher, don't quit praying for me. You, please, pray for Daniel as well as he comes and preaches for us. I know the Lord will give him something and be a blessing to our hearts. Thank you, all of you that cooked and baked and everything that was brought so that we could enjoy that. And Daniel walked past our table while I was eating, and I says, Daniel, you look at my plate? And he says, yes, Pastor. And I says, that's why I asked you to preach. He says, I'm learning from you, Pastor. My brother, please come. You preach.
Thank you, Pastor. Not sure if I need that or not. Like Pastor said, he asked me 2 weeks ago to do this, and I've been scared ever since. But you know, it's an honor to be up here and to share the God's word with you, and I feel like I wrote a lot, but I think it's going to go by fast. But I am thankful, first of all, Metropolitan, is that I get to be your youth pastor. I'm thankful, and I don't know if I ever thanked you for giving me that opportunity and just allowing me and my family to be a part of that. It's a blessing to me and a big change of life for me and my family and my wife and my kids. It's an honor for me to be here, and I know I would never be here without Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for us. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll be in verses 26 and 27. It says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. We'll be in this passage, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters here at Metropolitan. And Father, I thank you for our pastor. I thank you for the opportunities that you put before us as a church. Lord, I do pray, Father God, that you take over this message, Lord, and that you use me, Lord, today here this evening. And Lord, that you prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to receive your word. And Lord, that nothing be said that is against your word. Father, I love you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Paul here is, he's in his letter to the Corinthians, he's explaining to them that that they have been called, the Corinthians, they have been called to preach Christ crucified. For Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. And this is what Paul is saying to them, that they have been called to preach. He says there in verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren. how that not many wise men after the flesh, and when I looked up the word wise here, it speaks of those that are intelligent, those that are well learned. And those, he says, and not many mighty, those again that are powerful, strong, mighty, could be in wealth and in influence. He says, not many noble, and I had a little trouble with that one. But when I think of a noble, I think of someone from a good family, a wealthy family, someone that is well respected. He says, are called. Remember that Paul says, these, not many of these are called. And I thought of a man that came to mind in the Bible, this man was not a wise man, he was not a mighty man, and he was not a noble man. In the book of Exodus, we learn of a man by the name of Moses, and I know that you've heard of Moses. Let's go to Exodus chapter, I'm just going to touch up on some verses and a few chapters here and just speak on Moses and let you give you a little background of Moses. And Moses, as we all know, was born in a time when Israel was in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians. And he was born under circumstances where Pharaoh had charged his people, as you read there in chapter 1, verse 22, it says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Moses was born in this time. He was born to a Levi woman, and remember, Moses was a slave. He was born into slavery. He was born in a time that he was to be cast into the river as a baby. Moses didn't have no really much of hope. And as you can see, he was not from a noble family. He was from a family of slaves. And they were in bondage to the Egyptians. But the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 2 that his mother was a Levite woman, and she kept Moses as long as she could there in verse 2. And she kept him as long as she could. In verse 3, when she could no longer hold him, the Bible says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took him in an ark of bushels and dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So she threw him into, pushed him into the river, and Moses comes to the, floats down the river, and the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter came to wash herself at the river, and she seen Moses. She seen something floating, and she sent her maid up there to get Moses. At the time, she didn't know who it was, but there was they get the basket, and she fetches the basket. She opens it, and a baby cries. And Pharaoh's daughter has compassion. She keeps Moses as her son, the Bible says. Moses becomes a man, and he's walking through Egypt, and he sees an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. So Moses kills the Egyptian, and he flees from Egypt for fear that he would be killed, and comes to the land of Midian. Now, the reason I'm kind of just fast forwarding here is because I don't, you know, I'm just going to touch up, like I said, on Moses and his life. I already put my kids to sleep. I'm such a good dad. And so Moses flees to Midian. He marries a daughter there of a priest in Midian, and the Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 21, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. What I want to point out is that Moses was content to dwell there with that man. He was happy there. He had children, and as we all know, he kept the flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and Moses was happy there. He was content. The Bible says. But God had a plan for Moses. See, in verse 23, the Bible says, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So we see that Moses is not a mighty man. Moses was born to slavery, and again, we know that his background, and we know that he was not a man of might, a noble man. Excuse me. So he's out there tending to the flock in chapter 3, and the Bible says that God appears to him in the form of from a bush, and we know that God speaks to Moses, and in verse 6 it says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a land unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. We know that God is speaking to us about the land of Canaan. See, God heard their cry, and the Bible says he came down. And look what he tells Moses in verse 10. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Egypt, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Can you imagine? See, Moses, remember, he was in Egypt. Moses knows Pharaoh. Moses knows the might of the army of Pharaoh. He knows all these things. Moses is tending the flock. He knows in Egypt that he's a slave. His people have been in slavery a little over 400 years or so. The Bible says 400 years, 430, somewhere around there. But he knows. He knows his circumstances. He knows his situation. And God says, come now, therefore. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Like it wasn't any problem. God just said, come on, let's go. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Moses was content. God is going to take him out of his comfort zone. He's comfortable. But God has a plan. See? God has a plan for Moses. And although Moses can't see it, and he doesn't understand it, God has a plan. So we see Moses say, who am I? And again in chapter 4, again, he says to God, and Moses said unto the Lord, chapter 4, verse 10, he says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses again Moses says to God, you know I'm not eloquent. I'm a nobody, God. There's nothing special about me. God, you know. You know where I come from. You know who I am. You know everything about me, God. And you want me to stand before Pharaoh. Moses says he can't even speak. He's slow in speech and slow of tongue. See, but God came down to deliver his people. And God called Moses. God has a plan. Although Moses can see, he knows that it's just him and Aaron. But look what God says to him in chapter 6, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto a land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. and I will give it you for an inheritance. For a heritage, I am the Lord. I like that God said he will. And he reminds us that it is not Moses, it's God that is going to deliver the children of Israel. And as you read the book of Exodus, you know that God does just that. He delivers the Egyptians. But see, God had a plan for a man that was nothing. And not only a man that was nothing, a man that knew that he was nothing. A man that knew he didn't have what it took to deliver the people out of Egypt from Pharaoh. He himself knew that. He knows that he had to trust in God. And one thing I can say about Moses is that he did. He went. Although Aaron had to talk to him some of the time, but eventually he took over. And remember that God came down. God came down to deliver his people, he said. And again, God has come down. The book of John, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh. God came down, and he took the form of a man. And it was crucified on the cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, for the preaching, 1 Corinthians chapter 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Just like it says there in verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren. We see our calling, brethren. See, we've been called, and we're all in the same boat. Not many of us are wise in the flesh, and not many of us are mighty, and not many of us are noble. See, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you know about me, but I grew up in right here in Northside, Fort Worth. And to tell you the truth, I was probably the lowest of the lowest. My family was, I didn't know my mom. I didn't know my dad, and my mom was real bad and things. And I really don't want to say what, but she was, you know, she really wasn't a mom at all. I grew up in the streets of Northside right here on the other side of 820, a little further down. And not very educated. Really not educated at all, to tell you the truth. See, I grew up so poor that I needed money now. I didn't have time to go to school and all those things. I needed to make some money now. And I made money the only way I knew how to make money. But a man told me about Christ. See, he was called to preach. And this man told me about Christ, and I came to know Jesus Christ that day. It's been a little bit over 3 years now. I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know who my family is. But see, God had a plan. You know, I finished Bible college, and for me, that was a big accomplishment. It was a big accomplishment for me. I look at my certificate and I can't even believe it. So I hide it. And then pastor calls me and says, "Daniel, do you want to be youth pastor?" I said, "What? Youth pastor?" I still look at the card and it says, "Daniel, youth pastor, Metropolitan Baptist Church." And even now I stand here before you and I get the opportunity to share the word of God with you. But it's not about me. It's about God. Look what it says there in verse 27. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." It says in verse 29, why has God done it this way? Why? It says in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. So no flesh shall glory in his presence. It says, 31, that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." We do have a duty as Christians and believers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have a duty. And although we ourselves believe that, well, you know, I'm not ready for that, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I'm not 6'7" like Daniel. But remember, we have a calling, all of us do, and we have a duty. There's a world out there that is without Christ, that is lost. Our community needs Christians that are willing to go out there and fight, willing to go out there in them streets and stand up for our Lord and share the gospel so that God can work in people's lives. See, we know who we are. We know where we came from. We understand. Thank you. Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. It's when we realize that we're nothing that God can use us to do something for His glory and for His honor. And there was a few things going through my mind is that, boy, you really did put your family to sleep. I think every one of them are asleep except for your dear wife. Yeah, amen. Daniel's awake. And, well, I thank you so much, Daniel, for being obedient to the Lord. And I had no question that the Lord was going to give Daniel something for our hearts today. And we've got one more little thing we have to do this afternoon. And I'm going to ask Kristen Sanchez, would you come down front, honey?